Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today our special guest will be Jackie Alnor, and we will be talking about what does the Catholic Church believe about the end times. So that should be interesting because Jackie was also a Catholic, and I was a Catholic until I was about 12 when I didn't really want too much to do with God after being in Catholic school for 7 years and seeing the hypocrisy. I kind of figured it out when I was a little girl, but I didn't really know the depth of the depravity of this institution that came later. So we are going to talk about that. And I'll put Jackie on, and then I want to just quickly mention a few things that were in the news this week. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, how you doing, Susan?
All right, hanging in there.
That's good.
Hanging in there. Yeah, we have a beautiful day here in Florida. It's about 80. So everybody else, eat your heart out. But beautiful weather here. Anyway, I just wanted to mention a couple of things that were in the news this week. The cause of death of Zachary Timms, young man, I guess he was in his 40s, and he was the pastor of the New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, Florida. I think it's a big congregation. I don't really know how many members they have, thousands or who knows. But anyway, he had died from a cocaine and heroin combination accidental overdose. Now, that's a real tragedy. You know, when you think about it, here's a young man that had everything going for him, really in the natural, and he couldn't control his lust. And he wound up dead on the floor of a hotel room. His family did try to cover it up for several years. They didn't want the results made known. But it's kind of interesting because who mixes cocaine and heroin? That sounds strange to begin with. You know, even when we were stupid sinners, I was a dumb sinner before I got saved, but I knew enough to stay away from heroin. You know, we
so you
saw how
that
people.
Generation too, huh, Susan?
Yeah, the 60s. Yeah, but we knew. We knew that no, you don't take heroin, and so it's kind of shocking, in a way. And here's a man that's pastoring a church, and he's surrounded. He was on TBN all the time, and he was surrounded by people, but who was reaching out to this guy, you know. And it's a sad state of affairs. But also, just to briefly touch on TBN, we know that Paul Crouch Sr. passed away, and I was told that the family, Paul Crouch Jr.'s family, was never notified.
Wow, I hadn't heard that part. I knew that, when I found out about it, it was through Brandon Crouch putting out a statement on his Facebook page.
But they found out through social media. They were never contacted.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And also they supposedly held a memorial service for him. There was an article posted by the funeral home, I guess where he was laid out or whatever, but the family was never invited, Paul Krause Jr.
Did they say where he was buried?
No, I don't know
because
that. Of course,
bought,
you had mentioned that.
Yes, yeah. He bought a family plot at the Crystal Cathedral cemetery.
Yeah.
And now that it belongs to the Catholics, I don't know if the cemetery was part of the purchase of the Crystal Cathedral, but it was on the grounds. And there's an old video, well, you know, something that was on Praise the Lord show, of them walking around the whole place and Paul Krause, you know, and Schuller pointing out his whole family plot.
Yeah. I don't know, and what I know is that they don't know how he died, where he died. That's not known. And so...
Well, I know he had a heart condition, and last I'd known, he was in Texas.
Yeah, but he came out. I remember they did that video clip after he got out of the hospital, and they said he died three times. They actually posted it on the TBM website. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, Paul Sr. looks up at Jan and says, "Do I know you?"
Yeah, and who are you?
But
that was telling. That was telling.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. You know, it remains to be seen. That's another program, but what's going to happen there? I think it'll be interesting in the months to come.
Well, certainly it's now fallen into the hands of Matthew and Jan, you know, is, you know, how they set it up. So played on my last couple shows ago, clips from a presentation I did at a conference back in the year 2000. And in that conference, I was talking about TBN, and I said, well, in this case, the older is going to serve the younger.
Yeah, I wonder how did you come up with that?
Oh, just by how Lori was being groomed to replace Jan.
Oh.
You know, Jan chose her to marry Matt. She was handpicked. In fact, I was contacted by his previous fiance, her name is Lori as well, who told me how Jan systematically broke them up and brought, you know, the new Lori in, and then she just quit hearing from him. I mean, he didn't even have he didn't even call off the engagement. It was just, you know, maybe he was through with her.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, so we had a few emails back and forth. Oh, this is probably 10 years ago or so, longer ago than that. And she told me some very shocking things. See, I don't repeat a lot of the shocking things I hear from people who have been in the middle of these things.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I could, but I have always felt there has to be a double witness. And
right.
I couldn't get a double witness on the horrible things that girl shared with me. But there are double witnesses to a lot of other things now. You know, I knew about the homosexual accusations against Paul long before it ever came out with, you know, when he was sued or did that out-of-court settlement with Lonnie Ford. There was already all these talks. So you know, you hear rumors and gossip, you really can't repeat it, even though that ex-fiance was a pretty good source of some really crazy things. I had that confirmed again later by Kelly Whitmore, who was Jan.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we're going to get off into the whole TBN thing.
Yeah, well, that's
topic,
another program, because it's so interesting, and I think it's so timely, this whole thing, because I think there's a real shift coming. But anyway, yeah, that'll be a whole nother program, but I want to get into our topic today. What does the Catholic Church believe about the end times? Now, this is going to be interesting because I'm going to learn something. We never talked about it really that much. Now, from grade 2 till 8, I was in a Catholic school, And, of course, we never read the Bible, ever once cracked open the Bible, and never talked about the end time. So I don't know really that much about it.
No, most of the general laity understanding of Catholic prophecy is a little different than the official ecclesiastical understanding. Now, growing up Catholic, you probably remember hearing about all of the scary third secret of Fatima that was going to be...
That I knew.
See, because you only got little bits and pieces, and they based so much of their prophecy upon the so-called visions of all of these Catholic ordained saints, the canonized saints over the years, or some that are blessed, meaning they've been beatified but not complete to sainthood. And so they have their own little group of prophets.
Yeah.
And so there's a book that you need to read. It's called Catholic Prophecy, The Coming Chastisement.
Okay.
And it is giving collection of all of the Roman Catholic seers and mystics who of what they've said about the coming chastisement. That's what they all agree upon. There's going to be this coming chastisement. Now, many of them saw the fulfillment of that because these were prophecies made in the Middle Ages and everything. They saw the fulfillment of the coming chastisement happening from the time of Vatican II, and that God's chastisement, and he turned his back pretty much on the Roman Catholic Church at that point. There's this whole underground of renegade Catholics, I call them, and a lot of them include, a lot of them are the Latin Rite priests.
Yeah, they're far out there. We have one of those churches in our community. I think my aunt wanted to go there. You know, my mother, my aunt, who's, you know, a staunch Catholic, she dragged my mother over there. And when they got in there, they didn't have long sleeves on, and they were told that they had to leave because they had to have their arms covered to go in there.
That is a growing subculture within Catholicism. It is huge. Now, another, you know what really breathed more life into that was when the third secret of, what was it, 1917 or was it 18, late 1800s, when Fatima, I think it was 1917, because that's when the sun supposedly fell down from the sky and then went back up again, you know, to the three children there in the former Yugoslavia. Well, now, we were told, and I remember when this letter from our bishops came out, and I grew up as a Catholic in Los Angeles County.
Okay.
So, and I was a kid. Everybody was just waiting on pins and needles, especially after President Kennedy died, because we were all told by our bishop of the Diocese of Los Angeles, or either the cardinal or the bishop or whoever he was, that the third secret was revealed. The Pope, I believe it was, I think it was John the 23rd or Pius the 6th or the 9th or something, who reported
probably
it.
Probably John the 23rd,
Around the 60s. I think it would have been John the 23rd.
Or the 50s,
He had a special meeting with, this is what they said. Now, it doesn't mean it's true, that this is what we
exactly.
as Catholics, okay?
Yeah.
That during the Bay of Pigs fiasco with Cuba, that the third secret was revealed to John Kennedy and to Khrushchev to get them to stop the standoff and end the Bay of Pigs thing. And the Catholic Church attributed that to them seeing the horrors of the third secret, that it supposedly spelled out the worst of the horrors that was going to happen if World War III came about. And, of course, we already found out from the revelation of the second letter that there was going to be a World War III if the Pope didn't consecrate Russia, Mary. Okay, that's a whole other thing. Okay, but the third secret came out, I guess, what was it, 20 years ago, in around the year 2000, or you know, in the 90s sometime, they released the third secret. And it was nothing. It was like, oh, you know, dear ones, you know, consecrate your lives or whatever. It had nothing in there that would have made up the hill of beans to whatever was going on in Russia, okay, or in or with the Bay of Pigs. It had nothing scary in there whatsoever. So many Catholics believed that this was a cover-up and that we really haven't seen the true third secret. As a matter of fact, what's it called, like the Blue Mary Army or whatever, they had revealed what they thought, but some guy's recollection of what that third secret actually did say. And that third secret lines up with these other Catholic prophecies, and which, you know, again, I can go over some, but that's in this Catholic book by Yves DuPont called Catholic Prophecy, The Coming Chastisement, and it has all of the collection of various Catholic seers and mystics and what they are saying about the end of the world.
And how the three secrets came about, just give them a brief overview.
Okay, well, supposedly, these Marian apparitions always appear to children. Well,
yeah.
This was in the during the First World War, and these were three children wasn't Yugoslavia, that was Medjugorje. It was
Fatima. Where was
that? Is that Portugal or France?
I think it was Portugal. Let me look it up.
Okay. Because one of them, because Lourdes was France, I believe. Our
Lady
Lourdes
is France. I was there, climbing up the stairs on my knees.
Okay, so this one, I believe Fatima's in Portugal, I think. Boy, isn't that bad.
It's
so bad at geography.
Yeah, it's in Portugal, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, got to get all your Marian apparitions straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Which can be kind of confusing. Okay, so she appeared to these three children, and they would go into a trance as she appeared to them on the side of this mountain. And everyone couldn't stop these kids. They could pinch them, shove needles in them, and they wouldn't come out of their trance. And everybody started watching them, and then they claimed that they saw Our Lady. And that's what they kept referring to her as, Our Lady. And then I'm not sure. See, and I don't want to get my apparitions confused. One of the apparitions identified herself as the Immaculate Conception. It's either Lourdes or Fatima. But anyway, in the Fatima situation with the three children, the Mary even told the kids, two of them are going to be called home to heaven soon, and only one is going to live on to reveal the secrets in the timing that is told her. And that was the oldest one, Lucia. And so the other two died in adolescence, just as this thing said. But for people to believe them, she was going to show a special miracle on a particular day at noontime.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody showed up out there, all the, you know, zillions of people who are believing these kids. It was a lot like the Medjugorje one. I think there's a lot of similarities between those two. And so it was involved a group of children. And so these kids, I think there's something to a lot of these bigger apparition things, that it was a lady, an angel of light appearing to these kids.
Yeah, demonic,
Yeah, I think it was demonic. I don't think that some of the consistencies of the stories of these kids and stuff could be kids' joke that they're playing. I don't think I really think that these are angels of light giving So on that day when everybody came out, it was raining and everything, and then they could see through the clouds, they could see the sun, and then all of a sudden it appeared to fall down from the sky, and everybody ran in different directions, were terrified, and then it just decided to go back up in its place again, and when it did, all the rain stopped, and everybody's clothes was dry, and the ground was dry, and all the people who had illnesses or conditions were all healed. Okay, so that's you can even look up. They made this into a movie.
Saw the movie.
You get the whole story from looking up that movie. But we were really impressed with, because we were so much waiting for the secrets of.
We
thought it was something really.
Yes.
But again, these this the Latin Rite, the anti-Vatican II Catholics really believe that was a cover-up and a lie. And now, you know, something this book has, which is really helpful to understand the way the typical laity Catholic sees things, is spelled out, let's see if I can find the right page, in this book that I just mentioned about prophecies, because it puts all of them together, all the mystics. And it gives this scenario. It has like 1 through 9. From the compilation of all of these prophecies. And sometimes they refer back to the Bible as a secondary thing. Yeah, and the Bible kind of backs it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got St. Alphonsus de Liguria, or de Liguri. I've seen that name a lot. I think I've seen a lot of Catholic churches by that name, St. Alphonsus de Liguri. It's L-I-G-U-O-R-I.
Okay.
He enlarges on the signs as follows. Okay, this is the – now, keep in mind, this book that I'm reading from was written in 1970. I think it was 69, but – okay. And so the first thing that St. Alphonsus says is the gospel will be preached freely in the whole world. Okay, they already see that as an accomplished fact. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, all the nations of the earth will fall away from the faith. Okay, so they see that there's going to be this big apostasy within. When they say the faith, they've got it with
Catholic.
Yeah,
they're talking about the Catholic Church.
That's
when they
correct.
Talk about the faith, they're talking about anybody that's not a member of the Catholic Church is an apostate or
that's
a heretic
right.
or a separated brethren. We all need
yeah,
to come
they
back.
Call, they call their people the faithful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the faithful. Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to be a big falling away. Well, this was in 1970, this was written, so that was way before the pedophile priest scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And before things like liberation theology came into Catholicism, they're, you know, when you look at some of these things, you can fit in a lot of history into this, especially when this guy put this stuff together in 1970, and that was well ahead of the pedophile priest scandal.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the third thing that happens, they said that the Holy Roman Empire shall collapse. See, that was, of course, you know, that did happen, but, of course, that was supposedly predicted. Okay, then the Antichrist comes, and then...
Yeah, well, what do they say about the Antichrist? Because I don't even know what they believe about that.
Well, they call him the Anti-Pope. This is where...
Oh, anybody that's against the Pope?
No, an anti-Pope is an illegitimate Pope.
Oh, I see.
That's their term. They don't mean against the Pope. They mean an illegitimate Pope who reigns for, has in the past. They've had many that they've referred to as anti-Popes in history. In fact, there's been dueling Popes who have claimed to be the Popes all at the same time, and they call the false one the anti-Pope. So they kind of see the Antichrist is going to come. And then they've got Enoch and Elias. They always say Elias instead of Elijah. That
okay.
They'll return. And then the Jews will return to the Holy Land. And
uh-huh.
Then the powers of heaven will be shaken, and the stars will fall from the heaven. And so there's going to be this widespread earthquake, tidal waves, and all this horrible stuff, and disturbances of nature and things like that. Now, that's all going to happen during the time of the Great Chastisement. And this is the time that goes on from – forget 7-year tribulation. They don't – that doesn't enter in. They see this as a era, as a – you know, it could even be a millennial of this kind of, you know – bad things that are happening. Well, not a millennia, not that long, but supposedly these guys kind of see things as going bad since Vatican II, different ones.
Yeah, but they
but
think
that
all
that,
this is happening because people don't want to come to the Catholic Church?
Well, people have turned away from the Catholic Church, and the Catholics within the Catholic Church have turned against the faith by bringing in the Vatican II changes. Those
oh,
Vatican II changes and taken away the Latin Rite, a lot of them, will interpret that. So that's what I'm saying. As far as the laity goes, there's many ways of looking at it. As far as the official Catholic teaching on the subject, they just see that there'll be a time of difficulties leading up to the final judgment. There's no, they are ruling and reigning, but they see.
They
want to
rule and reign in Jerusalem, though.
Well, I'm sure that that's part. There's a prophecy in here. It's going to be hard to locate it, but one of them does indeed say that.
Yeah.
And so
they wanted Jerusalem. They wanted Jerusalem ever since the Crusades. They fought wars to get Jerusalem, and now they've entered into some kind of an agreement with Israel.
They're trying to get, even working with our Secretary of State, John Kerry, to try to get control of the holy sites in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working on those things. But they see a coming great king and a coming, now not the King of Kings returning, they see a coming great king and a coming great pope that it comes after their anti-pope that Malachi predicted. So, you know, that's another issue, but there's going to be a time of great peace and the entire world converts to the Roman Catholic faith.
Well, there's the whole idea behind the one world church, the one world religion.
Oh, their prophets have talked about this since the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
They aren't just making this stuff up.
Wow. So that's something I never heard growing up. As a Catholic, I don't even remember ever hearing about the end times in Catholic school. So I didn't have any clue what they believed, because I have relatives that talk about the judgment, but I didn't really understand what they were talking about. They said something about everybody's going to be judged for not joining the Catholic Church.
Yeah, see, when they talk about the end of the world, they mean the end of the world. They're in the millennium now, sort of. They're the ones ruling and reigning, and they're going to have all these, you know, this day of chastisement and this dark night of the soul collectively. And then when all of that is over and done with, then they're going to be having this time of harmony and peace, and then the end will come, and then that's it. Then it's final judgment for everybody, and so they put that.
So the final judgment is that we all stand and we have to answer why we didn't join the Catholic Church.
Yeah, pretty much. They don't see any difference between the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
They kind of merge those two.
Yeah.
Now, this,
so basically that's the judgment they're talking about, is that there'll be this final judgment. And then everybody has to stand before God and answer why they didn't join his church. That's what somebody told me.
And then that's, you know, heaven and hell, depending on, you know,
how you join the church.
Yes, through the church. And then St. Peter sits and rules over all of that. Now, this thing about this coming great pope that they're looking for, because, see, they're looking for the anti-pope, but the great pope's going to, you know, knock him down and replace him. So this here's one of the prophecies I found interesting. This was St. Francis of Paola. He was born in the 15th century in Italy, and he has this prophecy. By the grace of the Almighty, the great monarch will annihilate heretics and unbelievers. He will have a great army, and angels will fight at his side. He will be like the sun among the stars. His influence will spread over the whole earth. All in all, there will be on earth 12 kings, one emperor, one pope, and a few princes. They will all lead holy lives.
Wow.
So that's what their time of peace looks like. Now, this man who studied all the prophecies, putting all the different ones together about this great monarch, this great king, this world ruler that they're looking for, that they think is going to be a good guy, here's how he summarizes it. He says, on many points, these prophecies confirm the ecstatic of Tours, the venerable Holzhauser. Ecstatic of Tours, meaning this is a guy who goes into trances.
Yeah,
and so it says that this fifth period will end with, this is the bad period. It'll end with the arrival of the great monarch and the holy pontiff, both of whom are mentioned in many prophecies. They will work hand in hand. The holy pontiff will be very firm, and his spiritual directives will be made effective thanks to the temporal power of the great king, who will be his secular arm. And that is exactly the way it should be. The state should be independent from, but obedient to, the church.
Wow. Now, that kind of sounds like the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Exactly. They've got things pretty fouled up when they're going to see these guys and think that the Antichrist is the great king and the false prophet is, or the great monarch or whatever, and then the holy pontiff, this good guy.
Yeah.
You see how they have that. So this is the way their mystics see it. And even though the Roman Catholic Church officially endorses all these guys, because they're all canonized or blessed, like I said.
Yeah, okay.
They're all acknowledged by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, I'll tell you, there was a point where they became belligerent against this stuff, and this is probably is going to, you know, bring on further of great chastisement. But it was the release of the Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, what do you call it? The
Left Behind?
Things. Yes. That sent them into a tizzy.
Oh, really?
Okay. Absolutely. Now, they say in the movie they're a little kinder to priests. They show some priests go up in the rapture. But they say in the book the Catholics get left behind.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I only read the junior version. I was reading it to my kids, you know.
Wow.
So I never even read the adult version of that. But the Catholics have been in an uproar over it, and especially Carl Keating, who is one of the big, he publishes The Answer magazine out of San Diego. But
does he say he has an apologetics ministry or something?
Yes. He's the big apologetics guy for the Catholic Church.
Oh.
Well, they went on a rampage over the Left Behind thing, and they are really, really upset with, even though I'm upset with him too for a different reason, but they're upset with Van Impe. Jack Van Impe acknowledges all these so-called mystics. In fact,
I think he's a secret agent. I think he's a double agent, Van Impe.
Well, he probably is a double agent because he has worshipers, people who adulate him on both sides, and people who really hate him on both sides. But he's got a huge Catholic following, and he quotes the Malachi prophecy.
Yeah.
He gets
There's the Pope's
into
a great man.
Yeah, Mother Shipton. I mean, you know, whoever these people are.
Yeah, but it's like Jack Van Impe. Remember, he went away for a while. And then all of a sudden he makes this big comeback. Well, it takes a lot of money to come back and be on all these networks like he did. I was like, who's funding this guy?
Well, I went to a conference about 10 years ago, which was a Roman Catholic. I thought it was going to – I was living at that time in Corpus Christi, Texas. And, of course, Corpus Christi is their big feast. You know, it's really a Catholic place there. Gathered this big conference really just to – tell people how to respond to these fundamentalists, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so my sister and I attended it, but there were so many books on the book tables against Jack Van Impe, and one of the speakers we heard was just, you know, putting down Bible prophecy quite a bit, and they were all lamenting and wringing their hands over all the Catholics they've lost to Van Impe.
Oh.
And so they try to solidify their official, you know, just like you say, this judgment day coming, and you know, and they don't really now give any acknowledgement. Some of the more apologetic academics of the Roman Catholic Church have kind of pushed aside some of these things, even though the laity Catholics, and especially, like I said, the renegade ones, really hold on to these things. And, you know, and the thing is, the Malachi prophecies, now I have a 1969 version of the interpretation of it, which is just called The Prophecies of St. Malachi. I pulled out some of these books. And, of course, he was, you know, born in the 11th century, and he supposedly laid out all, prophesied all the popes from the Middle Ages all the way to the last one. Well, at this time, there were still three to come when this was written in 69. You still had, well, actually, if you, at the time when this was written, the pope, let's see, what was the name of this guy? That was, oh yeah, there's John Paul II. I thought I had written down who the pope was. It was, I have too many notes that I'm not finding. But anyway, there were three more to come, and I don't know where I put that.
Because basically a new thing to hear about this guy, Malachi. It kind of came out of the blue for me, but something that you said that I found interesting, too, in this time when they have this king or whatever and this world leader, they talk about heretics, that what they're going to kill heretics or eliminate heretics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, they've been doing, that's nothing new. They've been doing that.
Yeah.
And who do they call the heretics? The biggest heretics were the Bible-believing Christians that they loved to burn at the stake and burn their tongues out and put them on a rack and whatever. So it's like,
well, I think that,
you know,
that
that's not, it's even
going to
be worse.
Yeah.
It's even going to be worse.
Yeah. But anyway, I found this thing at the beginning of this Malachi thing. It says that this book says that the prophecies of Malachi have almost come to an end, just three more popes, and they will have joined the other 108 pontiffs thus anticipated or prophesied by Malachi. For three more pontifical reigns to come, some people will speculate as to the possible identity of the next pope, well, which for them was John Paul I. And after each conclave, the interpreters will have a field day. Okay, so this was in 1969. They said they have three more. Now, this was during the reign of Pope Paul VI.
Oh, okay.
Pius.
Yeah, he
Paul
came after
VI. He
John.
Came between 63 and 78. That's right. I found the note where I'd looked that up. And then John Paul I, he was only just a few months in 1978. So he's the first. So we had Paul reigning. There were three more to come. So the next one would be John Paul I, and then the second would be John Paul II, who was reigned from 1978 to 2005. And then the third was Benedict.
Yeah.
So do they mean the three, there'd be three real popes, and then that would make Francis the anti-pope?
Oh.
And all it really says about that last pope, they call him the last pope, which happens to be, they say, the evil pope, is it says, and
yeah, they were all evil popes.
I know, that's true. That's
they
true.
Finally admit that there's going to be an evil pope. Yeah, like,
only one paragraph was written about this guy. And this book that spells out all the prophecies, it says that the final legend is self-explanatory, and Malachi concludes his short but fascinating prophecies as follows. And here's his last paragraph. In the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman, who will feed his flock among many tribulations, after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge the people.
Wow.
So they're calling this guy the last one, and so many people have interpreted this, that's all it says. But people have read into it by reading into what everybody else has prophesied about this anti-pope. So, and the funny thing is, his name is not Peter, okay? You know, what is the real name of the current pope? St. Francis. Oh, yeah, you named himself that, St. Francis. Pope Francis is, Bogoloni or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
his
yeah.
Name, yeah, yeah. His name is not Peter. And and he's from South America. He's not from Rome or even Italy. And so everybody is saying, well, how can these things come true? Well, one thing I find fascinating. The second person in command at the Vatican is what they call the Secretary of State. The Pope is the highest in command, and so he's kind of like comparable, you know, to the president and the vice president together. You know, he's the leader. Then he's got what he calls the Secretary of State, and that is the one that kind of is the one that represents the Vatican all over the world when the Pope is, you know, staying in Rome. And so, you know, prior to under the retired Pope, it's funny because he was the first one to retire.
Yeah, well, that whole thing is shrouded in mystery because you know, there's a lot of rumors on the internet, and one of the rumors was that, you know, there's going to be criminal charges brought against him. So, you know, when he first left, he went out of the Vatican and he went to some summer home, and then all of a sudden he was brought back, and he lives on the grounds there because of he'll get immunity from prosecution. They can't prosecute him as long as he lives there.
That's right, because Vatican City is its own independent nation.
Yeah, and they can't be prosecuted.
No, he can't. So there's a lot of mystery over that.
Yeah.
And see, he now that Pope, according to Malachi, was called the Glory of the Olive. And everyone said, well, how do we connect this guy to any olives? Because that was the title that he would have had. And then somehow, oh, I can't recall, somebody connected Pope Benedict to some university he went to where they had the olive was their symbol or something, okay? They're always trying to fit this in. Well, like I said, with Petrus Romanus, you really can't fit it in, except that his Secretary of State is that replaced the last one that was under, though this last guy served for a heck of a long time, and Cardinal Bertone was that under Benedict. You know, actually, he had been Secretary of State since 2006, but now the new Secretary of State under the Pope, the Pope appoints them. So the Pope appointed this guy, and his name is Archbishop Pietro Parolin.
His name is
Italian.
Peter.
Yeah, and he's Italian.
Oh.
And so,
the plot thickens.
Yeah, so I would say that would be the closest thing that you could see Peter the Roman, only the guy, I don't know where he was born, but he lives about an hour outside of Venice.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Italian and his name's Peter.
Yeah.
And he was appointed, and this guy appointed him.
Yeah, this is a real wolf in sheep's clothing, this Francis. What kind of PR job are they doing with him?
Well, he's trying to make everybody love him, and
here
he is, the Time of the Year magazine, you know, on the cover.
Yeah.
The
ultimate of hypocrisy.
Yeah, and he's trying to be open to the atheists and the homosexuals.
We're
not going to judge anybody. Everybody is tolerant of everyone, and you know.
Yeah, but you hear that. I don't know if you still have Catholic relatives, but you know, I do. And
but
so
they don't talk to me. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? Don't tell my daughter not to commit adultery. You know, how dare you? And we don't judge. But, that comes out a lot now. I'm hearing that a lot with Catholics is this don't judge thing.
Well, see, that could be part of this great apostasy from the Catholic faith, because the Catholic Church has always judged those things, and they made these big changes since Vatican II. They started the whole evangelization program of trying to bring Catholicism in everywhere, just make it part of everybody's culture and politics and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they've done a pretty good job with it. They've done a masterful job infiltrating into even, you know, James Robison comes out with some nutty statement a few weeks ago about uniting. And he even had a Catholic priest on his program not too long ago.
He co-authored a book. His latest book he co-authored with a Catholic.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely no. He's jumped ship a long time ago.
Wow. What a shame.
But you see, their prophecies are, you know, from all their mystics say that's all going to change, you know, once the Holy Pope comes in. Then there's going to be this great revival. It's so funny because they're calling for this new revival, this revival, but they're going to be in charge of it. I know.
It's like, remember, Jackie, when we were Catholic, we didn't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus from Santa Claus. I mean, I am telling you, I did not know who Jesus Christ was of 7 years of Catholic school, and I used to go to church every day at one point, and I was always crying in front of the cross and, you know, so upset that Jesus was crucified. But to understand who Jesus Christ was, why he came, they told us he came, something, he was killed by the Jews. And, you know, poor Jesus, I just felt so sorry for him. We heard all the things about him dying for our sins and rising again and all that. But who understood it? I didn't have a clue what they meant.
No. You'll see, the Apostles' Creed is about the only doctrine we really got is when we cited the Nicene Creed.
You could probably still say it. I believe
He's
come God
to
Almighty,
judge
the creator
dead.
Of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Our Lord. Yeah, God conceived by the Virgin Mary. Conceived on the something, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Pontius Pilate, right. Was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day.
On the third day. That was the third day.
And then he ascended
to judge
into
the living
heaven.
And the dead.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, but
yeah,
who knew?
I
didn't know anything about being born again. I knew nothing. I thought you were born again when you were baptized.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now the situation where they see themselves, at least the ones who pay attention to the saints and the mystics, is that we are in the time of the great falling away and the great chastisement when all of and again it fits in with all of the Matthew 24 signs of earthquakes and wars and all of this kind of stuff fits right in with their understanding. It is all about them. It's all about their great chastisement. And I want to read a couple of the prophecies, one from the 16th century, one from the 18th century.
Okay.
Now the guy he's DuPont says. He says, it must be remembered that the great chastisement is to follow the crisis. Okay, and the crisis, people will point to that as being either Vatican II, or maybe some might see that as the pedophile crisis, okay? Any mention of the great chastisement, therefore, forms part of the circumstances surrounding the crisis. Okay, so the chastisement has to come in response to the crisis. So I would go with the pedophile priest thing, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not a Catholic. But here's Mother Shipton's, what she says about it, and this is in the 16th century. She says,
okay.
The great chastisement will come when carriages go without horses and many accidents fill the world with woe. It will come when thoughts are flying round the earth in the twinkling of an eye.
Oh.
This is 1500s, okay? When long tunnels are made for horseless machines, when man can fly in the air and ride under the sea, when ships are wholly made of metal, when fire and water great marvels do, when even the poor can read books, and when many taxes are levied for war.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you'd have to almost say she's a prophet, huh?
I know. I mean, when the poor can read books, wow.
I know they couldn't read then.
No, but they didn't want you to read, didn't want you to read the Bible. Yikes. What they did to people that tried to translate the Bible and print them, they murdered these people.
Exactly.
And they didn't want you to have a Bible. In fact, I don't know, were you part of that when you were a Catholic where we had a banned books list and banned TV, remember?
Oh,
and
yes.
We could, the King James Bible was on that list. You couldn't read, you could not read.
Well, we were banned? You know who my mother, because of the church, banned us from watching on TV? I am serious. We could not watch Soupy Sales. I kid you not.
I didn't know he was on the ban list because we used to watch him.
Oh, he was. He flipped off the cameraman, remember, and he was.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember that. No.
Yeah, they said he was a communist, all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, I remember they did the banned list. There was banned TV programs, banned movies, banned books, and you couldn't know anything about Martin Luther. No, they didn't want you to know.
No,
you couldn't talk about
him.
He was
the enemy. Well, anyway, 200 years later, this blessed, there's probably a saint now, but at this time they were still Blessed Rembrandt. Now, this Blessed One lived in the 18th century. So this is the beginning of America's 1700s. And this one prophesies, God will punish the world when men have devised marvelous inventions that will lead them to forgetting God. They will have horseless carriages and they will fly like the birds. But they will laugh at the idea of God, thinking that they are very clever. There will be signs from heaven, but men in their pride will laugh them off. Men will indulge in voluptuousness, and lewd fashions will be seen. So, I mean, this is a fascinating book when you read some of these so-called prophecies, because...
Yeah, well, we're certainly seeing the lewd fashions.
I know.
What she was talking about there.
But, you know... But this one, too, there's so many people, like I say, there's, I posted it on my Facebook page, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. There's this guy, Michael, he has this thing called the Vortex or something, and he's one of these renegade Catholics, mm-hmm. and he is just, you know, so angry with the direction everything's going, and he's pretty much trying to call the Catholic Church back to Catholicism. And so
I don't think they even really know. I have a copy of the Vatican too. They'll send it to you if you ask them. It's a book.
Oh yeah, I got it. Yeah.
And of course, you know, in there, and most people don't even know this, but they say that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church.
Have the fullness. The fullness. They say that there's truth in all religions, but only they have the fullness of God revelation. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you tell people, even some Catholics don't know what the actual church position is on things.
They don't really know
what they believe. So even this guy you're talking about, he's trying to call them back. But does he really know what they've been into all these years?
Yeah, it's hard to say. But you see, they're waiting on that holy great pontiff and the great sovereign king of the world that's all going to bring everybody back under the Roman Catholic faith and the Roman Catholic Church and they even mentioned Jews and Muslims are going to become Catholic.
Wow.
So they've got that spelled out as well. And it's just going to be, you know, Catholic civilization for a while until, the end comes or whatever.
Well, they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, now who is this one? This one is Abbot Joaquin Merlin, the 13th century. So this is the 1200s. That's a long time ago. He says, a remarkable pope will be seated on the pontifical throne under the special protection of the angels, holy and full of gentleness. He shall undo all wrong. He shall recover the estate of the church and reunite the exiled temporal powers. He shall be revered by everybody and shall recover the kingdom of Jerusalem. He shall reunite the eastern and the western churches. The sanctity of this beneficent pontiff will be so great that the highest potentates shall bow down in his presence. All men will return to the primitive church, and there shall be only one pastor, one law, one master, humble, modest, and fearing God.
Wow.
And a lot of them are saying this monarch comes out of France. Some are saying in these prophecies, are saying he was born in 1962. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in that book. And so I'd recommend it. Hey, is our hour, how much time we got left?
I still have time left. I have 35 minutes left, but you can, you know, whenever you want to.
Just let
me know. Yeah. I put more time in just in case we went over, But
okay.
That's up to you. I don't know how long you want
yeah.
to.
Yeah, well, you know, this has been a great discussion. We always have good discussions when we get
yeah,
together.
Yeah, we do. I love talking to you. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm in the twilight zone until I
Well, I just hear my
I feel like I talk to people that are, like, you know, we think alike, we understand what's going on. Because, you know, the thing is, we're seeing, I've never seen such rebellion like I'm seeing now.
No.
Such rebellion against God and against what's right. And, you know, it's remarkable, really.
Yeah, well, there is just the what do they call it? The mystery of iniquity is at work and
yeah.
on the increase.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there is this mystery of iniquity, and that's what is just displaying itself everywhere and grabbing a hold of everybody who doesn't have the truth. In fact, people, you know, again, those who have no love for the truth are going to believe the lie. So as everybody starts compromising with the truth, I think they put themselves in danger of being given over to lies.
Well, we're seeing that. Now, we see this this pastor in Orlando, Joel Isaac Hunter, young guy, 35, 36, winds up shooting himself in the head. And we're seeing, you know, what is wrong? What's wrong? And that's the thing is, like, the emergent movement, this gathering together with all these false religious systems, and then there's no right and wrong, and we're seeing these tragedies, people dying from drug overdoses, people committing adultery, people committing suicide that profess they know Jesus Christ, and these are troubled times.
Very much so. I know there's a scripture I had, the Lord, I think, had really awakened me to as I was reading in the Old Testament. Oh, it's been a while back, but he talked about when they were going to go against, the Israelites were taking over their land, and he told them to hold up a while, he says, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Yeah.
And so God has a timing before the hammer falls. So I just look at it as, you know, people talk about an Armageddon clock. It's just, you know, so much towards midnight. But I see it as a cup of iniquity that isn't yet full, and then it gets cast down to the planet when it is full. So
yeah.
it's got the wickedness increase and everything. It's got to be so bad where God can no longer withhold his judgment. And so he's still patient with us. Until that cup of iniquity is full.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, it's just about full because I've never seen anything like it. The hatred for what's right. Bible says, and they'll want to kill you. Well, that's how they act. They want to kill you. How dare you say anything?
Exactly. And they will call evil good and good evil.
Yes.
And that's where we are.
And that's like sometimes you feel like you're in an insane asylum because you haven't you're living in the reality of Jesus Christ and of his word, and we know the truth, and yet you have what surrounds you is so wicked. I've never seen going into the grocery store and seeing 60 and 7-year-old women with tattoos. Like, what is going on? What is this?
I know. It's sure not very becoming.
No. You know, years ago, you wouldn't see anything like that. It was a shame to tattoo your body. And now
they
don't think anything of it.
They can't even blush.
No.
You know?
No.
But anyway, Susan, my daughter's struggling with her niece, my grandbaby. She's
okay.
We've got the kid again. Saturdays I help with the baby a lot. Well, my married
that's
daughter
nice.
And husband have time.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know
how to help with those babies. That's for sure.
Oh, I that's just part of my life. I absolutely love and thank God for.
Well,
so,
we want to, Jackie.
You know,
I thank you so much, and I always enjoy talking with you, and I know our listeners do, and Thank you. Just mention quickly your website and your radio broadcast before you go.
Yes, it's Friday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern, and I do my Scattered Sheep Report on the Rapture Ready Radio Network through Blog Talk. You could find it just by putting in raptureReadyRadio.com. And my webpage is kind of idle until I get my new one going. The idle one is apostasyalert.org. But I've got the URL for scatteredsheep.org, and I haven't gotten that going yet because I'm still working on some technical things that I used to know how to use Dreamweaver, and now I don't even have it on my computer. It was on my old computer, and it went to dust. So I got to get that going again. And
if anybody wants to help Jackie out there,
yeah.
Any of you computer geeks or website designers,
but I do have a blog associated with the Rapture Ready Radio. But you could see that within Rapture Ready Radio, there's a link to the blog.
Yeah, and then you have your Facebook page too.
And Facebook, yeah.
Yeah. So
I have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I know. Yikes. Doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day sometimes. But, whatever we can do for the Lord and to try to help people, that's what we're here for. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate a lot of the technical stuff you've been sending me. I'm going to work on all that, too.
Yeah. Well,
I appreciate
that. There's so many things we could do on the Internet to reach out. It's amazing. And how God's given us this platform when we were rejected by mainstream media, Christian media.
Exactly. Or the evangelical industrial complex,
exactly.
People call it. Yeah,
they talk about being censored by A&E. Well, talk to some of us that were censored by so-called Christians.
Absolutely. That's it,
but
too. But anyway,
they can't censor us anymore.
Help.
All right, God bless.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. And I want to thank my guest, Jackie Alnor, for her insight. She's got great insight, and I want to encourage you to go to her Facebook page and her website, Apostasy Alert. Also, her Scattered Sheep broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. You'll learn so much. Jackie's been in this ministry of apologetics, discernment for many years, 30 years. And I learned so much from her years ago when I first started on the Internet and visiting her site and being blessed by the content. So, anyway, the most important thing is that Jesus said you must be born again. And you're not born again because somebody sprinkled water on you when you were a baby and somebody else made a profession of faith to some church for you. You are responsible for standing before God one day and giving an account of your own life. He's not going to ask you about my life or anyone else's life. He's going to ask you about yours. And Jesus said himself in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that comes by making the confession with your mouth of asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't do enough good works in your own self to earn your way to heaven. The price has already been paid by the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. So there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You have to accept it. It's a free gift, and it comes by faith. So if you're wondering why your life is so messed up, you just go from one crisis to another. You have no peace. You have no joy. And you've been praying to all the saints, and you've been having masses said, and you've been doing all the things they told you to do, and nothing's working. Jesus Christ will change your life, and he will give you a brand new life. He will give you peace. He will give you joy. Nobody can give you that except Jesus. He will give you deliverance from sexual immorality. He will give you deliverance from alcohol. He will give you deliverance from drug addiction. He will freely give you all things just for the asking, because you asked and because God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not what church you belong to. It's a personal relationship with the living God. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. He's a real person. And he would like to get to know you today. So ask him to come into your life and to give you a brand new life, and get out your Bible and start reading it and finding out what the Bible says, because if you'll know what God's word says, you will not be deceived by any false prophet, by any king, by any pope. You won't. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's nothing like freedom in Jesus, nothing. So that's the good word today, and I want to thank you for tuning in, and tune in next week. Hopefully, I'm not sure who we're going to have on next week, but I have a guest that I'm thinking about, which will be very exciting, but I'll let you know. We'll post it up on the Blog Talk Radio site, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.